You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, Attack on the Seed. Topic, The Seed of Righteousness. Attack on the Seed. Last week we talked about the blood on the door and the mezuzah, saying that it was all about the blood and all about the covenant with God. Today we continue this journey and with that combine the materials of some older teachings with the new insights of a book to come. Yes, it is all about the covenants, it is all about the blood, and it is all about the seed from the tree of the root of Jesse. So, as we concluded last week, let us step through the blood, let us step through the door, let the Savior in, and let him lead us to Zion. Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter 11 verse 10, Amplified Bible, and it shall be in that day that the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal for the peoples. Of him shall the nations inquire and seek knowledge, and his dwelling shall be glory, his rest glorious. To which Paul says in the letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 15 verse 12, Amplified Bible. And further Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout from the root of Jesse, he who rises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. Then who is the sprout, and who is in the root of Jesse? Now, my friends, that is an interesting question. Many fear to start reading and analyzing the book of Numbers, at least until the verse of Jabez. Then it is suddenly all about prayers of abundance. We will see in this series that the seed is important. It determines where you come from. And for many who are not able to break free, it is still determining where you are going. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, Complete Jewish Bible. This is the genealogy of Yeshua the Messiah, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the father of Yaakov. Yaakov was the father of Yehuda and his brothers. Yehuda was the father of Peretz and Zerach. Their mother was Tamar. Peretz was the father of Hetzron. Hetzron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadav. Amminadav was the father of Nachshon. Nachshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. His mother was Rachav. Boaz was the father of Oved. His mother was Rut. Oved was the father of Yishai. Yishai was the father of David the king. David was the father of Shlomo. His mother was the wife of Uriah. Shlomo was the father of Rechavam. Rechavam was the father of Aviah. Aviah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Joram. Joram was the father of Uzziahu. Uzziahu was the father of Jotam. Jotam was the father of Achaz. Achaz was the father of Hizkiyahu. Hizkiyahu was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon was the father of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was the father of Yekanyahu and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babel. After the Babylonian exile, Yekanyahu was the father of Shaltiel. Shaltiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Avihud. Avihud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azur. Azur was the father of Tzadok. Tzadok was the father of Yachin. Yachin was the father of Elishud. Elishud was the father of Elazar. Elazar was the father of Matan. Matan was the father of Yaakov. Yaakov was the father of Yosef, the husband of Miriam, from whom was born the Yeshua, who was called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile, and 14 generations from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. Wow! The seed, all the way to our Lord Yeshua, goes back to Abraham. Did you know that Abraham was named by God this way? Originally, it was Abram. Abraham, like many names in the Bible, has meaning. The name Abraham means esteemed father. Before the great flood, all people on earth were descendants of Adam. After the flood, the people of the earth all descended from Noah, and through him, from his sons. Luke tells us the rest of this story of Jacob, who fought with the angel and was named Israel. Luke chapter 3, verse 34 to 38, Amplified Bible. The son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Roy, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Cainan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. As you can see, the seed is very important. And with that, we will see that Jesus is in this each and every step of the way. The lineage to Jesus is important because it is Satan who continuously has been and still is trying to destroy the seed of righteousness. Adam was created in righteousness. Noah was chosen because of his righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. Jesus is God. Our salvation is born out of Jesus. Thus, it is born out of righteousness. You know, this is a really interesting, or do I need to say difficult, topic. Righteousness or holiness? God is holy. God is righteousness. When you gave your life to Him, you became set apart, or what we call with a better word, sanctified. You were made holy, but you are not yet holy in totality. So, what is it then? Yes, difficult indeed. Dr. Michael L. Brown wrote a whole book on this topic of holiness, and with that, on salvation and grace. But let me do my best to explain. And let me also tell you that the translators through the ages have not made it any easier. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, Complete Jewish Bible. It is in connection with this will that we have been separated for God and made holy once and for all through the offering of Yeshua, the Messiah's body. And let us stay in this translation a little longer. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, Complete Jewish Bible. For by a single offering, He has brought to the goal for all time those who are being set apart for God and made holy. Now hang in there with me and place a marker with these Bible verses. Dr. Brown writes, "Now I know that all this technical language can be confusing, but the Greek verbal system is very precise, and when the same author uses such specific and exacting terminology in the space of just a few verses, it is important that we understand exactly what he is saying. To paraphrase, through the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, you have been set apart as holy, and now, by that same sacrifice, having been made fit for complete and perfect access into God's presence, you are being made holy in your daily lives." Dr. Michael L. Brown, Hypergrace, page 102. Then the apostle continues with his letter to the Hebrews and says, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Amplified Bible. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. We are called to pursue sanctification, consecrating ourselves to holy living. So then, is this a contradiction? No, it is not. What the author is saying is that through our acceptance of the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, we have gained access to the holiest place of all, the throne of God. We have been sanctified, made holy, set apart. This set apart has deep meaning because we are set aside for what is to come. It is the concept of the biblical understanding of already / not yet. We have been sanctified. We are being sanctified. We will be totally sanctified. Or to say it in less churchy terminology, the moment we were born again, we were set apart as holy to the Lord. From that moment until we die, we are called to work on and grow into that holiness. Then, when we are resurrected, we will be made permanently, for eternity, forever holy. Or in other words, already, but not yet. Our holiness, our sanctification, is something we continuously need to work on. We continuously need to nurture that seed of righteousness that is planted into our hearts. This is what we call progressive sanctification, and that is what Satan has been fighting from the beginning of time. That is the seed of Jesus that he has been trying to destroy, from Adam to Jesus, for every generation, and for all newborn people in the seed of righteousness, every day thereafter. This is why it is so important to understand the genealogy and to see the ever-ongoing fight, so that we will recognize this fight and come out stronger each and every day. Oh, glory, I see the Lord of the breakthrough. The quarter is falling. I can hear the ka-ching going. All those messages from the last couple of months are all coming together, and God is giving us a breakthrough. Amen. This is why it is so important that we do not cover up that seed that has been planted at our conversion. When we gave our lives to Jesus, we opened up the soil of our heart, and the seed entered in. Unfortunately, too many times we quickly cover it back up, place some plastic over it, or a stack of papers. No, not yet. Too many other things I still like. Or, no, not yet. It's too scary. Yeah, Satan loves us to cover up that seed so that it just sits there and doesn't grow. But oh Lord God Almighty, what a beautiful, sweet-smelling fruit it will produce if we give God a chance to grow this. If we just start working on it, one little baby step at a time. You can step forward a yard, or just 1 inch at a time. Hey, it is still going forward. But when we keep it in the dark, we are standing still, and there is no progress. When we stand still, and all others around us are moving forward, we are giving Satan a victory, because we are dropping behind. Progressive sanctification. Something to work on. Satan indeed tried to destroy the seed in more than one clever way. When Abram fell asleep while entering into the covenant with God, it caused his offspring to be in Egyptian exile for 400 years. And this is where we are suddenly in the meat, no pun intended, of our study on the covenants, the blood, and the seed of righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, verse 7 to 17. Complete Jewish Bible. Then he said to him, I am Adonai, who brought you out from Ur-Kasdim, to give you this land as your possession. He replied, Adonai, God, how am I to know that I will possess it? He answered him, Bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these, cut the animals in two, and placed the pieces opposite each other, but he didn't cut the birds in half. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Avram drove them away. As the sun was about to set, a deep sleep fell on Avram. Horror and great darkness came over him. Adonai said to Avram, Know this for certain. Your descendants will be foreigners in a land that is not theirs. They will be slaves and held in oppression there for 400 years. But I will also judge that nation. the one that makes them slaves. Afterwards, they will leave with many possessions. As for you, you will join your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. Only in the fourth generation will your descendants come back here, because only then will the Amori be ripe for punishment. After the sun had set, and there was thick darkness, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch appeared, which passed between these animal parts. That was the day that God made a covenant with Abram. When we look at this, we see so many important things. Abram is preparing a sacrifice and lays it out for a covenant. In the days of Abram, a covenant was sealed in blood, the blood of animals, and both partners would walk through it, sealing it in this way by saying, "If I break this covenant, then my blood will flow through just like this." Abram fought the ravens and then fell asleep. Fear and anguish came over him. Horror and great darkness, says verse 12. He just could not stay awake anymore. However, I believe it was God himself who placed this sleep over Abram, because of the plan that was laid out for the seed. Then the smoking fire pot and the torch went through instead of Abram. The smoking fire pot we talked about earlier, meaning in the last couple of months, it is the refiner's fire, the oven of righteousness. When wood is pure and well dried, it will not smoke but give a clean fire. But when we feed the fire with impurities, it will smoke with a thick and black smoke. Thus, we enter verse 17. The refiner's fire sealed the covenant of blood. God's refiner's fire that we also know from our studies on the Bema Seat of Judgment. Abram's life was purified in the seal of the covenant because the light of the world, the torch, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the deliverer from sin, went through on behalf of Abram, the light shining bright because of the Holy Spirit fire on the torch. This then makes absolute sense. The oven is smoking because Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen. Wow, are all our studies and messages coming together now? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, let me hear it. Hallelujah. And still, Satan almost won after this. 400 years in exile. 400 years surrounded by idols, gods, and half-gods, but they were not able to visit God in his holy place. Oh yes, the first generation in exile. Surely they knew God. I'm sure also the second generation. But it became less and less. Do you know what church your great-grandfather went to? What did they believe? Being surrounded by the gods of Egypt became normal. In the same way, it has become normal for so many Christian brothers and sisters to see all the violence, the sexual abnormalities, and the spiritual and mental abuse. They don't even frown their brows at it anymore. Nothing special. Isn't it normal? Doesn't everybody do it? Isn't it the same for everybody? Slowly but surely, Satan was pushing God out of the lives of the Israelites. In the same way, Satan is trying to push the righteousness of God, and with that, God himself, out of the lives of Christians. This is the point where we see Moses entering the picture, and God's real, clear explanation of what needed to happen again in order to be his people. To be his people, they needed to renew the Abrahamic covenant, passing through the blood once more. But indeed, that was the essence of last week's message. It is here, as the people are wandering through the desert, that God gives them a one-off covenant. A one-off, you might say, yes, one that is different from all the others. People walked through the desert, complaining, toting all those Egyptian idols with them. Every time God had made a covenant, and we had already seen three: the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Each time God had said, You shall do this, and I shall do that. You do this, and I shall bless you with this or that. But not now. This is the one-off. This is different. At this moment in time, we see the fourth covenant, the covenant with Moses, where God says, "You shall or else." Yes, indeed, we talked about it already. Last week we looked at some of the commandments, mitzvot. God gave 613 mitzvot to the people of Israel. And let's be honest, for me and for them, it was impossible to keep them all. But I believe, and many with me believe, that the reason for these commandments was that the people would cry out and say, "Oh my God, help me with this. I cannot do this. Oh my God, this is impossible. Oh my God, why me?" I believe that the intention was for the people to be focused again on God, to do away with all those worthless idols that do not give any reprieve and are not able to give any answers either. Yes, God gave these commandments to re-establish a relationship with His people. God, our God, YHWH, is a God who wants a relationship. He is a God who wants to have and be in continuous communion with those that love Him and belong to Him. We can see that each mitzvah builds upon the other. Each and every mitzvah, commandment, is created to bring us into and help us stay in relationship with God, with Messiah, with the Holy Spirit. As we are now, as read before in the words of the letter to the Hebrews, saved by grace, it still does not change the foundational truth. The mitzvot were created for living a life in righteousness. Our lives, as they are now set apart for Christ, are lives set apart for living in righteousness. This righteousness, as said earlier, is from the seed of Christ. Righteousness is not something that we have the ability to create. Righteousness comes from God, and it is something we need to work on, growing it, maturing in it, nurturing it, and loving it. Yes, indeed, righteous living is something we need to start learning to love. Our goal, to become closer and closer to God. It is, it was, and it is to come. It is already, but not yet. We are saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit filled. By the acceptance of Yeshua, we have been set aside, sanctified to holy living, and destined for a future life of holiness. We have been made holy, as Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 tells us, and summoned with the words of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 to strive, to be holy. A sanctified, holy personality will place their focus on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Satan is not able to touch Jesus. The opposition might sometimes look too great, and certainly not in our favor, but Jesus has conquered Satan. And with that, we hear the words of God's prophet Jahaziel from 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, Common English Bible. Jahaziel said, "This is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid or discouraged by this great army, because the battle isn't yours. It belongs to God." Amen. When we examine the progression from covenant to covenant, from Adam to Noah, to Abraham, to Moses, we are not merely observing historical or theological landmarks, but stepping stones in the divine unveiling of righteousness through seed, covenant, and blood. Each stage unveils a facet of God's relational intent with humanity. The consistent thread is not human obedience nor national purity, but rather God's faithfulness to His word and His promise. The ultimate fulfillment of this is found in the seed, Yeshua, the Messiah, who is both the torch that walks the covenant path and the fire that purifies it. Understanding righteousness as a seed rather than a status allows us to embrace the journey rather than despair at our imperfections, a seed must be planted, nurtured, and grown. Likewise, holiness is not simply conferred, it is cultivated. We were sanctified at the cross. We are being sanctified in our lives, and we will be fully sanctified in eternity. This tension of the already but not yet is not a contradiction. It is the biblical rhythm of transformation. It beckons us to step forward in faith, to water the seed with obedience, and to protect it against the withering heat of compromise. The enemy's strategy has always been the same: destroy the seed, corrupt the covenant, pollute the bloodline. But God's response has also never changed: establish, preserve, redeem. Through every exile, every idol, every generation of silence, the seed has endured. That seed lives in you. That covenant is extended to you. That blood has covered you. And so the enemy's attack continues, not because you are weak, but because the seed in you is destined to bear fruit. Therefore, let us not bury the seed under the distractions of life. Let us not shield it with the fear of sanctification. Instead, let us open our hearts to the refining fire, the covenant blood, and the righteous root of Jesse. Let us press onward in progressive sanctification, walking forward, even if only an inch at a time, knowing that every step toward holiness is a step toward Zion. Wow! My intention was to teach today on the topic of the tabernacle, but it shows that God had a completely different plan for us. Have you understood what God was telling you here? Have you received a blessing today? I have received a great blessing and been showered under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May the breakthrough that began in this message ignite in your heart a resolve to grow that seed. May the voice of the Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, remind you daily, this is not your battle, it is the Lord's. Stand in His righteousness, walk in His sanctification, and live by His covenant. For the seed of righteousness has not been defeated, it has overcome. Next week, we continue. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.